Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by...
Hey, hosted by Duchess. Yeah, this is me. This is I. That's the proper way of saying this. I've been sitting here in my apartment, you know, watching time go by, watching the days go by. I tend to be in one of those high-risk groups. Well, I tend to have multiple high-risk reasons, you know. And so I've been sitting here. But this is not unusual for me because I tend to be an introvert with extrovert tendencies. So I like being to myself and, you know, hanging out with me. And I really enjoy being with me and hanging out with me. But that's when I choose to do it. I don't think I'm really liking the fact that I'm being forced to do it. Because when we get forced to do things, even those things get tiring. But I'm doing what I do and talking to you. I had a show planned for you, but usually I plan these shows a week so in advance as news is accumulating and spiritual talks are unfolding. And I was going to talk about some stuff that Jose Stevens on the Power Path talked about with this pandemic thing going on. And but then I thought that was too depressing. I'm not into this depressing stuff. I'm going to watch the news once a day, maybe twice, once in the morning or early part of the day, which during the week I usually watch The View. I can tolerate that for about 20 minutes, and then that's enough news for me. Usually when I'm watching The View, my time, it's preempted by Washington, D.C.'s mayor. She jumps in there, and so either I'm going to listen to what's going on in D.C. or just turn off the TV. So I'll watch a little bit of the news, and then if I'm feeling like I want to be depressed for the day, I'll be depressed. But I usually find something to break my behind out of that depression stuff because I myself know I need to practice what I preach. And what I preach is raising our vibrations to a level that our immune systems stay high and mighty. And depression tends to knock down the immune system. So I tend to figure out a way to get myself out of that quick flash. So I figured I'd share some of the things that's been going on with me. If you want to contact me at duchessontheair@gmail.com, you can share some of the things that's going on with you during this time. And we can just compare notes, and maybe I can learn some of the things that you're doing so that I can try them out and do them. But please don't send me recipes because I really think I'm getting big, really big. I feel big. And my scale, the battery died on my scale. So that means I have no way of knowing how big. But I feel kind of puffy. So don't send me any recipes. All right, I appreciate it. I'm reading three books almost simultaneously. The other night I decided to see how many pages were left in each one, and then I figured what I'll do is I'll finish Becoming Supernatural by Joe Dispenza, D-I-S-P-E-N-Z-A, because I only had about 75 more pages to go in that book. And then I'll be finished with. And that's one thick book. That's got like 350 some odd pages, so I'm really close to finishing that one. I'm also reading Trevor Noah's book. Trevor Noah, the host of The Daily Show. I'm reading his book, Born a Crime, and I saw where I had 125 pages left to complete his book. And that book is, it's not a big book. It's got about 260 pages in his book. I got about 125 more pages to be done with that one. That's my fun book. Joe Dispenza, that's my spiritual, scientific, metaphysics, quantum physics book. He talks about, and I really think I held my breath too long. I did one of his exercises, this is a disclaimer. I did one of his exercises of holding my breath and all of that. And y'all just don't know. I woke up one morning and my eye was blood red. I popped a blood vessel. So that was me holding my breath. I think that's what caused it. But my eye is clear now. The doctor said it would get worse before better. It would look worse before it would look better. And now I have all the whites to my eye back because the whole eyeball, the white part, was beat red. It was horrible. I looked like an alien eye or something. So be careful when you start doing these exercises that you find in books. Don't do them so forceful that you think you're going to get through something really fast and fix yourself rapid fire because you may be injuring yourself even more. Okay, so that's Joe Dispenza, and Trevor Noah, he is a funny guy, some serious stuff in his book of what he grew up and the challenges he faced being biracial in apartheid Africa. His mother is African and his father is Swedish. And he tells some stuff. Some of it really makes you laugh. I started laughing because I remember something that he said in one of his stories that he told, and it was hilarious. And then, for some reason, I was talking to someone. I don't know if it was in one of my Zoom groups, but they happened to mention Eckhart Tolle's book, The Power of Now. And it dawned on me that I had that book in my bookcase. And I want you to know, I have books in my bookcase that I've never even opened and read. I bought them, maybe on sale or something, stuck them in my bookcase, and this is one of them. Just one of the books that you could tell by holding it in flat in your hand that the pages had not ever been opened, disturbed, unfolded, or whatever. So it's brand new. So I started reading that, but then I said, no, I'm going to finish Dispenza. Then I'm going to go back to Trevor Noah. But once I finish Dispenza, then I'm going to open up and start reading The Power of Now, simultaneously, alternating with Trevor Noah's book. Until I get so far in Trevor Noah's book, I decide that I'm just going to finish him off and read. Now, I give my books away, and one day I woke up and the thought came to me to give a book to a friend. This book I read, I just don't remember what I read in it, but it was The Untethered Soul. So if anyone has read that book, do me a favor, shoot me a text message or something and tell me what you thought about that book, what it's all about, The Untethered Soul, because I read it, I just don't remember what it was about, and I already gave it away because I woke up and, the thought popped into my brain, and when I get those kinds of thoughts first thing in the morning, then that's what I do. I act on what was told for me to do, and it was told to give that particular friend the book. Now, she hasn't mentioned the book to me, so I doubt that she's read it. Some people, they get real, freaky about reading stuff from other people's belief systems or that they may feel may be offensive to their belief system. But I believe, my belief system tells me that I was summoned to give that book to her. And it will be on her if she doesn't read what was meant for her to realize in that book. So, with that, what are the other things have I been doing? Oh, for those of you who can't get out and you need exercise, I want you to know that YouTube, if you have access to a computer or even your cell phone, you can Google YouTube, and in YouTube you can find stretches for senior citizens. And you don't have to be a senior citizen to do these stretches, but one of my spiritual associates told me, if you don't do anything else but stretch. So they have stretching for the lower body, stretches for the upper body, and of course I tell everyone about Spark People and their 11-minute seated cardio workout. I'm letting you know, it works you up. And I have told my senior counterparts to go easy on themselves because it can bring you up too. A rhythmic heartbeat. So I want to share that with you. We're talking about just things. Some of the things that I'm noticing with, not to dip into politics, but I got to do it just a little bit. Because we wonder, when will there be peace on the face of this earth? When are they going to get their acts together? What the heck is going on out there? And why can't these people who have, you know, we have given this political power to, you know, be able to be leaders in a leadership manner? Well, I'm watching things unfold, and they may not be coming out of Washington, D.C., but what's amazing are the leadership characteristics unfolding with the individual states. Have you noticed that? Now, I'll tell anybody, my favorite governors, there's three of them, three favorite governors, and then there's a favorite prime minister. That's Macron up there in Canada. I mean, he's a hottie, but he is very, very intelligent, and I love listening to him because first he'll talk to you in English, and then he goes and he speaks to you in the French. You know, he translates back and forth. So I like listening to him and what they're doing up there, and I hope it's not surprising to anybody else, but Canada's closed off their entire border to the United States of America. They're not allowing anybody from this country to come up in Canada. You're not allowed. You're not allowed. So if you didn't move there back in 4 years ago when the leadership changed in Washington, D.C., no sense in trying to move up there now because you're stuck here in the United States of America. But that doesn't mean all is lost here in the United States of America. There's some powerful stuff going on here, and I'm noticing it. The first thing I noticed was how D.C., Miriam Bowser, the mayor of D.C., and I think it's John Hogan of Maryland, and, of course, our Northam in Virginia, they formed an alliance with one another, okay? They formed an alliance, and that's a cool thing. Then you have California and Oregon and Washington State formed an alliance with one another. Now, over on the northeast side, they form an alliance of seven states. How well that goes remains to be seen. But the alliance that's formed on the northeast side, New York and New Jersey, Connecticut and Delaware, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, and Rhode Island. Now, in particular, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and Delaware, because I used to live in New York City, those states not only border one another, but people cross-populate or cross-interchange from their state to the next state because they may live in one state but work in the other. So it behooves these borders and these states to form an alliance in what they're doing that may affect each one, each of the other. Because if I'm not allowed to cross the border out of New York state and I work in New Jersey, how the heck am I going to explain to my boss in New Jersey why I can't get to work and vice versa? So they're forming an alliance so that they can do whatever they can do to open up their states in an orderly fashion, not a haphazard fashion, because they realize what's hot and dangerous and growing in New York can dip right over into New Jersey if New Jersey's not careful. And they just open up everything and let people, you know, cross-exchange one another because they work. I mean, people in New York, they work in Connecticut. You know, people in Connecticut, they work up in Rhode Island. You know, so these states, they cross one another. And everybody in Rhode Island, because it's such a small state, definitely works in Massachusetts. So they've got to look at a whole lot of stuff going on over there in the Northeast. Now, as far as Maine and Vermont are concerned, I figure those states, people are hardly ever going to travel that distance all the way up in there to go to work in Maine or Vermont. But they're also sparsely populated also, you know, because you start moving up into the mountainous states and stuff. So it's, like, really cool. But as far as Canada's concerned, they don't want stuff coming out of the United States any direction coming up there to them. They're not having it, and I guess we can't blame them because they're not having it. So that's the alliance that I see forming between the states. You have D.C., Maryland, Virginia forming their alliance because they can't get anything out of the government. Then you have California, Oregon, Washington State forming an alliance. And then you have New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Delaware, Mass, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, because all seven of those states, they cross-populate as far as work and living. So you live in Rhode Island, you can work down in Connecticut. You live in Connecticut, you can work over in Delaware, and you can cross over into Delaware, New Jersey, and New York to go to work or to live and back and forth. So I can see where they're having, they're strategizing. The governors are strategizing, and these are not just Democrat governors. The governors in all of the states that have sense, in my opinion, they have sense. They're strategizing to see how they can effectively keep this thing down and open up their states gradually. Like I said, no sense in me living in New York and I can't cross the George Washington Bridge over into Jersey or vice versa to go to work. I live in New Jersey, but I can't cross over into New York to go to work. No, so those governors have to strategize how they're going to do this stuff simultaneously in an orderly fashion. Okie dokie. So what else is there that you can do? While you're on lockdown, I've noticed that all of your premium shows on your television circuits, just about all your premium shows are letting you in for free, temporarily. So I only get HBO. Didn't even want that, but that was a part of my package. But I happened to want to look at a movie the other night, and it was on Showtime. And Showtime just unfolded and opened up like a beautiful rose unfolding its petals for me to look at the movie I wanted to look at. I thought that was so cool. Then I wanted to look at another movie, and it was on Epix. So this is one of the things that some of you may want to know, may already know, but I'm sharing with you, especially those folks who might be getting HBO free for a short period of time. Now is the time to watch Game of Thrones, okay? I love Game of Thrones, but I'm letting you know it's some real kinky stuff going on Game of Thrones, so you need that fast-forward button in case you can't deal with a lot of blood in one particular scene or you can't deal with some of the intense rape scenes that go on in there. But those people were vicious back there, but it's really a good show. Another thing you can do during this time, find things to laugh about. Find stand-up comedies. Look at comedies, you know. Don't be looking at a lot of tearjerker stuff that's going to make you sad and depressed. Look at things that's going to uplift your spirits. Like I said, you need to have your spirits uplifted in order for you to maintain your immune system to stay high, okay? Then for those senior citizens out there, AARP has a phenomenal selection of new games. I started playing a couple of them the other day. Fascinating. So you have your games. Then there's the Zoom conferencing system. Zoom conferencing has been a wonderful thing for a lot of people, especially people in recovery. Now, a lot of you know that I'm in recovery, AA recovery, and I didn't go out of my apartment to go to many meetings anyway, locally. But I woke up at 11 o'clock the other night and found myself attending an online face-to-face Zoom meeting in California. I had 101 people in that meeting, you know, for an AA meeting. California was 8 o'clock there, 11 o'clock there, and I went to a meeting in California. My favorite online meeting is 6 o'clock every single evening, 7 days a week, 6 o'clock in the evening, and it's hosted in Iowa. So you can find a lot of Zoom activities. Then, of course, I always tell everybody about Canopy.com. If you have a library card and your county libraries are connected with Canopy, all you need is your library card. You have access to thousands of movies, not only for you but also for the children. That's Canopy with a Canopy.com. So what are some other things? Because I'm going to do a meditation in about 10, 15 minutes. We're going to do a meditation. Why? Because we need to know how to calm ourselves as well. I wanted to let you know how to have some fun, how not to be so bored, you know, no matter what during this time. And for those of you who came in late, just wanted to let you know that I decided not to do the Power Path message from Jose Stevens because I felt it was just a little bit depressing. I'm tired of depressing stuff. You know, if I'm going to ask you to keep your immune system up, keep your vibration up, then well, I'm going to let you know what Stevens said, because by the time you hear it, it's old anyway. Because he started talking about whatever he was going to start talking about, say at the beginning of April, we're in the middle of April, so much has transpired between then and now. So what are some other things that you can do, okay, to boost up your habits before we do this meditation? You can stop feeling guilty about your guilty pleasure. If you want to eat chocolate, damn it. Just go ahead and get it. You know what I'm saying? I don't drink. You know, but if you want to have a glass of wine, go ahead and have it if that's your thing. And, you know, you have no recovery issues. We can get our face out of Facebook. That's another thing we can start doing. We don't need to be in Facebook. So a break from social media can help lessen our anxieties. It can help lessen our loneliness, you know, especially for those of you who are all alone. You don't have anybody to talk to. You don't, you know, why do you stay away? Just stay away for a couple of days. You don't need that. And stop having this fear of missing out. You're going to miss something. It's going to still be there. When you get there tomorrow or next week, it's still going to be there. Unless it's something serious, then somebody should have called you and told you about it. We spending time alone, you know, we can't angst that. But what you can do is begin to do things to enjoy who you are and what you are, and you can establish a relationship with you. It's time for you to do some work on yourself and start loving who you are. And be happy about being alone. Like I said, I'm reading three books here. We can do, create a morning ritual. That ritual can be prayer, meditation. You can write in a journal. You can say affirmations. You can burn incense. You can go for a walk. How about we skip the shower? Ha ha. By taking a 20-minute bath. And you can always, if you feel like, oh, I can't stand sitting in that dirty water, whatever, then take a shower after you've chilled yourself in a hot bath with some bubbles and maybe some baking soda, you know, a little bit of essential oil in there. Turn out the light. Put on a night light in there, one of those little children's night lights. Put on a candle, whatever. And just chill in the bath water for about 20 minutes. Set your alarm. Set the vibration on your telephone to zit, 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 zit in 20 minutes, and you know you're done. Stand up. Shower off if you feel like you need to shower off. And lots of people like to dance. Put on some music. They say download Spotify. You know, you can get your groove on. You know what I'm saying? The other day, because I love Bruno Mars, I went to YouTube. You can go to YouTube and get music, all right? Put in your favorite artist. I listened to Bruno Mars, every single song he ever wrote and sang. I was bouncing with Bruno Mars. You can do that. Dial a friend. Instead of texting, texting gets old. Matter of fact, I can't stand texting. Unless I have to communicate the same exact thing to four different people, then I'm not going to call four different phone numbers to call four different people to talk about it. I'm going to text them if they have a cell phone. I'm going to text them the same message, and that message will go to four people. Okay? But texting is old. And don't text me an epistle, a whole book, and think I'm going to have a whole conversation with you on a text message. I have a friend that loves to do that. So how are you doing, Yolanda? I'm doing great. Just checking in. Okay. So what did you do today? What do you mean, what did I do today? I'm supposed to give you a whole text message about what I did today? And you know, no. If you want to know all of that, then you call me and we'll have a conversation. Because I like talking to people. Can you tell? Say, claim your calm. See, some people think meditation is, all meditation is a sit down and a go om. No, sometimes you can do what's called mindful meditation. Sit down and let the thoughts roam freely through your mind without you saying, no, I don't want to think about that, I don't want to think about this. You know, or you can just say the words, you know, whatever comes to mind. You know, my book, my car. The sun, the bird, you see a bird fly by, say whatever comes to your mind. Those are called mindful meditations. Okay. We also talked about looking on the bright side. Oh, and laugh, laugh, laugh. I don't know if I told you last time, 7:30, if my eyes pop open, 7:30 in the morning, I turn on the Steve Harvey Morning Show so I can listen to Nephew Tommy do the prank phone call. So funny. He prank phone called this woman the other morning. It was so funny because he's doing 2020 prank phone calls. So they're in line with what we're going through right now. So he calls this woman, 2020. He says, is this so-and-so and so? She said, yeah. He said, I got your name from one of the neighbors because I've been looking for you because I need to tell you that you need to stop running by my house every single morning. every single morning at the same time you're running by my house and you need to stop. She said, well, I don't know what you mean, mister. You know, what do you mean I need to stop running by your house? He said, you know what I'm talking about. You got that old coronavirus. You huffing and puffing and breathing all that breath past my door as you run past my house. And what about that crap? You probably carrying it on your on the bottom of your shoes. And every morning you coming by, he said, and I'm going to file a complaint. Matter of fact, I'm going to call. I mean, it was so funny because this woman, she jogs every morning. And this is her route. And she tried to explain to this man, and he said, no, I'm not having it. I know you're breathing I know you're breathing that virus out your mouth every time you run by. I mean, it was, had me in stitches. You know, me, not you, but. Okay. What else we got here? Say yes. Don't shy away from new experiences. Say yes. Anything else? Well, we can get into some more stuff in a minute. What I want to do now is I want you to relax, and I want you to do this meditation, and if we have time after the meditation, we can talk about some more things. But I wanted you to know that I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad we're having this chat today. And I want you to share heart and soul meditation along with me. I want you to relax. I want you to listen to David G. He's from the Chopra Center. And I want you to tell me how this makes you feel. You ready? You comfortable? Okay. Here we go.
There is a center in the body where love and spirit are joined, and that center is the heart. It is your heart that aches or fills with love, that feels compassion and trust, that seems empty or overflowing. Within the heart is a subtler center that experiences spirit, but you can't feel spirit as an emotion or physical sensation. Spirit lies beneath the layers of sensations, and to experience it, you must go to the heart and meditate upon it until everything that obscures spirit is cleansed. In the words of the mystical poet William Blake, you are cleansing the doors of perception. In this meditation, we will listen to the messages our heart is sending us. We will begin to clear away whatever is blocking our heart so that we can experience the pure, shining spirit that is our true nature. Let's begin. Sit comfortably and close your eyes. For just this moment, you can let go of all your thoughts in the outside world. Focus your attention on your spiritual heart center in the middle of your chest. Be aware of your heart as a space. The heart center is a point of awareness where feelings enter. In its essence, the heart is pure emptiness, pervaded by peace and a subtle light. This light may appear as white, gold, pale pink, or blue, but don't strain to find light of any kind. All you need to feel is whatever is there. Resting your attention easily on your heart center, breathe gently and sense your breath flowing into your heart. You may want to visualize a soft pastel light or coolness pervading the chest. Let your breath go in and out. And as it does, ask your heart what it needs to say. Don't phrase this as an order. Just have the faint intention that what you want your heart to express is flowing out. For the next 5 or 10 minutes, sit and listen. Your heart will begin to release emotions, memories, wishes, fears, and dreams long stored inside. As it does, you will find yourself paying attention. You may have a flash of strong emotion, positive or negative, or a forgotten memory. Your breathing may change. You may gasp, sigh, or feel tears come into your eyes. Let the experience be what it is. If you daydream or drift off into sleep, don't worry. Just bring your attention back to your heart center. Whether it speaks to you in sadness or fear, delight or pleasure, its message is exactly what you need. If voices of anger, worry, or doubt start to arise, allow them to speak, and then let them go, easily and comfortably. You are learning to be with your heart in order to heed its spiritual meaning. This is meditation. You are letting repressed material come up to be released. This is purification. You are listening to your heart without judgment. This is attention. Thank you. As you practice this meditation, spending a few minutes each day to connect to your heart center, you will begin to get glimpses of your heart as it really is. Silence. Peace. A warm glow. Or subtle light. Even if these glimpses are fleeting, you will find that your life outside of meditation is starting to change. At unexpected moments, you will feel a wave of joy and well-being sweep over you. You will begin to walk with more buoyancy in your step. These are signs that the constriction most people hold around their heart center is releasing its grip, letting go of the fear and tightness that keep spirit from entering. In truth, spirit doesn't enter since it is always there, but making contact with it is like being penetrated with light and insight. This is the flow of love. Thank you for joining us in heart and spirit for this meditation moment. If you would like to deepen your meditation practice and learn the powerful technique of primordial sound meditation, please visit chopra.com or call 888-736-6895. Namaste.
Of old masters and new masters. I think you'll find this interesting. So as you meditate, you realize what you're evolving towards. This is from Adama Saint Germain, as channeled through Jeffrey Hoppe. I am, yes I am, Adama Saint Germain, the master. Let's talk for a moment about masters. The term master is thrown around and used openly and freely, and there have been many, many masters in the past. But the masters of the past are different than the masters of the new energy. So often the masters of the past had to go through extreme suffering to become a master. They had to deny their bodies. They had to literally deny their human existence in order to look deeper into their spirit, in order to separate what was human from what was spirit, what was real from what was illusion, what was the battle of the ego from what was the blessing of being human. So many of the masters that you have heard and read about endured this. They endured this grand suffering, becoming martyrs as well as masters. There is no need for that in the new energy. The new energy master understands that mastery is about being human. They understand that it is about integrating all energies into themselves. The new energy master understands the principle of joy and releases the old concept of suffering. Many of the masters in the past were isolated. They went off alone, away from the cities, away from their families. They lived as hermits in the woods, on a desolate island, or in a forsaken part of the country where no other humans lived, perhaps justifying it by saying that they were getting back in touch with nature. Many masters of old had to leave the presence of other humans in order to truly discover themselves. However, the new energy master understands that it is essential to be part of humanity, to be a part of the community. The new energy master understands that isolation and separation do not serve the need of the others, the ones who are ready for teachers. So the new energy master learns to be the master while existing in this human reality, surrounded by other humans, while working in everyday jobs, while traveling, while going to the same stores or perhaps even the same churches as the other humans. There will be times that you need to be alone. There will be times you need to recharge your energy. But the new energy master understands it is important to live among other humans. It is important to participate in human existence, for how can you teach if you are on some remote island? How can you teach if you are isolating yourself in some distant place? How can you be available to humanity if you are sitting on some mountaintop, secluded and difficult to get to? Many of the masters of the past studied hard. They read the ancient texts, that they read the philosophies. They studied the religions. They spent most of their years in school, and even as they became older, they studied and studied and studied, still trying to find their way to enlightenment. They felt that the more they absorbed, the more they studied, the more they knew, this would put them closer to being a master. There are very, very few masters who truly made it this way, though many, many have tried. They all found one thing in common. It brought them so much into the mind that they ignored their true feelings. Sooner or later, the masters of the past who partook in this rigorous study found that they had to let it go. A beautiful example is that of Kuthumi Lao Sing. He studied and studied in the universities, trying to study his way to enlightenment, until it literally drove him crazy. He had to release it. He had to understand that all of the book knowledge in the world would never give him the true enlightenment that comes through the feelings and through the nast of divine intelligence. Masters of the new energy have already studied. You've read the books. You've gone to the courses. You've read all the old wisdom teachings. Has it solved the issue? Perhaps it has been pleasurable. Perhaps you have enjoyed it now and then, but sometimes you get so absorbed in the study that you forget that you already are the master. You get so complex, trying so hard to find the intellectual answers, that you forget the answers are already within. You get so engrossed in the search, so focused on the path, that you forget all of the answers are already within you. So it's not about studying everything that you can find, looking for the answers. By all means, study if you enjoy that, if it's pleasurable to you. But as you have already discovered, you're not going to find the answers that way. Many of the masters of the past practiced extreme discipline, disciplining their mind, disciplining their body. They felt that if they focused their energy in a very extreme way through severe discipline, they could become clear and focused like a laser beam, and somehow that would give them enlightenment. But in truth, many of them were just torturing themselves and denying their full existence. It did work. So, to some extent, for masters of the past, because that was the energy they were in. The energy hundreds of thousands of years ago was much thicker than it is now. It was much more dense, much more difficult to work with. And there was a need by aspiring masters to have this discipline. Otherwise, they would be caught up in the density of consciousness. However, in the era that you exist in right now, you don't need this extreme discipline. You don't need to deny yourself things that are a part of life. You don't need to be afraid of any of these things around you. There There are many who fear that if they partake in certain joys and pleasures of life, that it will distract them, that they will get caught up in these things, become addicted to them, and forget about their true spiritual path. Perhaps you have blocked yourselves from the true joy of life because you were afraid to partake of its pleasure. Perhaps your soul passion, which is to be a teacher of the new energy, had you feeling that these things would distract you. So you literally shut down your own house of life. But now, in this new energy, you can open all of these things up. Perhaps you have been caught up in the past with something like drinking too much alcohol, and now you're afraid of it. Perhaps you've been caught up with anger, and now you try to lock the door on your own anger and shut it out. Perhaps you've been caught up with drugs and other addictions, and you've tried to hide or run from these things because you thought they were grander and stronger than you. Okay? A master in the new energy is quite different than the master of the past. It doesn't do any good to go back and study the old masters, what the old masters studied, because they existed in their time and in their era for a specific reason. There were a few true masters in the past, Yeshua, for instance, as a master 2,000 years ago. He was also a change worker, just like you. And he was the example, the one that stood out from the rest. He represented the Christ consciousness on earth at that time, the one who represented the many, because the energy at the time called for that. There could not be many masters, there could only be a few. It is different now in this new energy. It is time to have many masters all across the world because it is time for each culture, each region, and each community to see that there is a master present. It's time to have many masters all across the world to help anchor the energy of the new, to anchor the energy of an expanded consciousness, and to anchor this energy of the Christ seed, which is blossoming on earth right now. This is the time for many masters, not just a few. Being a master, surprisingly, does not carry the tremendous responsibility that you might think it does. In this book, we'll get into some of the details of what the master is, how the master relates to his or herself, to his or her internal environment, and into the world. So, you know, that's it for this session. I think it's time for us to really focus in on this book. I bought this book many years ago, Masters in the New Energy, and I think this is a time for me to share Dharma St. Germain's words with you. And so next time we come together, we're going to talk about how elegantly simple life is, how elegantly simple being a master is, and the first phase of experiencing mastery, and how elegantly simple it can be, and it's not as wild and crazy as some of us were taught to believe. You know, so relax. Take it easy. This is a new energy. And stop beating up on yourself. You already know what it is. You already got it. So stop trying to find books and look at other people for the answers to your questions. Chill. Relax. You know, you're already there. You take care. Love you good. Bye-bye. Thank you.